those baby carriages moving, you know.
It's like, no, especially the one with the handicapped person, that is totally atrocious. And I'm sure you heard about the one about molesting the hamburger.
No, I didn't. Tell me about that.
Somebody got a ticket for molesting a hamburger because the female cop came up to this person and thought that he was holding it in an inappropriate manner in his lap.
Where was this?
On the mall.
When was this?
About 2 weeks ago.
And were any witnesses to this unusual...
There was a bunch of people. They were all laughing about how ridiculous it was.
And what was the actual charge?
Molesting a hamburger, which strikes people of... Many people who heard that said, this isn't Louisiana,
right,
and New Orleans.
Little do they know.
Where New Orleans has its own concept of laws and judgment, though they've learned to change their ways. And it seems that some of our officers are thinking that they're there.
Now, if folks want to contribute to Feed the People, how can they do that?
They can get a hold of us through our phone number, 425-3333, and call us, leave a message. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. We're very busy right now, so it'll be a few days. Or you can mail it to us at P.O. Box 1650, Santa Cruz, 95061. And we gladly accept donations because we're doing this out of our own pockets.
And, of course, if you want to help out, Feed the People, you can show up where they do their meals between 4 and 5.
Most definitely.
Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays in front of Logos Books on Pacific.
Most definitely, because especially the past week, I've been doing gardening work just to make ends meet, and I don't want to touch food when I'm filthy.
And you are, in fact, a musician.
Yes, I am. And we have a... every Saturday now, we're hosting an open mic at a little place called Mad Jack's Cafe in Portola. It's in the East Cliff Village Shopping Center, which is East Cliff or Portola, name changes as to where you're on it, right at 17th. And it's a good little place.
What time is it?
That's usually between 7 and 9 p.m. and
every
Saturday.
Tonight, for instance.
Tonight, yeah. And we have a great time there. So if people are musicians, you're encouraged to come down. And if you just want to listen to people, or even if you just want to read poetry, it's fun.
Thank you, Pirith.
You're welcome.
And Feed the People continues to feed the people, as does Food Not Bombs. You can contact Food Not Bombs at 425-3345. They're feeding 2 days a week, and I'm damned if I remember if it's Saturday or Sunday. It's one of the two. Town clock at 1 o'clock, and it's Wednesday or Thursday at the town clock at 4 o'clock. Now, perhaps this caller can tell me just what's cooking around that issue.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
I'm sorry, I tuned out and then tuned back in, and probably interrupting a flow of your thought there, but I was just wondering if there's any bands out there, anybody's going to show up for city council with music.
It's a great idea.
Funeral dirges are probably most appropriate, but maybe we could cheer each other up with something.
Well, I was hoping that the Biotic Bakery Brigade Santa Cruz chapter could bring a special tofu pie for Mayor Byers. You know, I just heard from my producer that Mayor Byers...
You scoundrel.
Yes. Is back in town, and she has assured us that there is some confusion, by the way. Some people thought that the whole thing was postponed until
April
13th, but that's not true.
That's not true.
It is, in fact, the sleeping band cover-up is going to be happening on the March 23rd at 7 o'clock, and I've been told, some of us had hoped that this was going to be a public hearing, that is to say a process where individuals get 3 minutes and organizations get five. Well, I'm afraid not. Not according to Mayor...
5 and 10, huh?
No, it's not going to be 5 and 10.
It's not
going to be...
5 and 10?
No, it's going
to... 4 and 7?
No, I'm afraid not. No, no.
3 and 8?
No, not even close, I'm afraid.
2 and 6?
Getting closer, but it's going to be like 2 and 2. There is not going to be any special... she says there's going to be less time than there was last time for public comment. So for all those of you...
Oh, that must mean they're going to make a lot of changes.
I shudder to think. And in fact, what we're learning here is that
let's
the Democratic...
Let's have a nice... Somebody can play some music,
soothe the savage beasts.
As we witness this thing.
Yeah.
But everybody come and witness it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Cole. And
okay, sorry, I don't know about the question you were asking. I was like...
No problem. Did you have something you wanted to say?
No, that was just saying, hey, you know, let's party. Show up.
Party.
Everybody
and actually,
show up.
There will be hot food.
Party till the revolution goes. You know?
Compliments of Joe Schultz at 6 o'clock right outside City Council. So, you know, bring your guitar, bring your blanket, bring your backpack.
Bring your church choir.
Hey, man, bring your favorite rock band.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
And actually, Looking over this CAB resolution, this Community Action Board resolution, David is a much too discreet a man to bring up these issues, but this is actually a weakened resolution, I have to point out, perhaps due to the fact that none of the advocates were really invited to this CAB meeting. Again, it seems like the folks that have the best intentions only want the best people there, and they regard us as being not of that number. Previously, I'd understood that the Community Action Board had recommended an even more extreme position than the one we took, which was we suggested that the sleeping sections of the camping ordinance in some parts of the city be set aside, provided no other criminal behavior was occurring. Mostly, we were reducing ourselves to industrial zones as we tried to give away this and that to placate what we imagined to be the conservative mentality of some folks in the city that have particular power with the city council members. But CAB itself, as I understood Paul Brindell, had been suggesting that the entire camping ordinance could not be fairly enforced as long as there were not shelter beds available. And this resolution is a retreat from that position, I'm afraid. It talks now only about the sleeping sections of the camping ordinance, and it also now begins to say you can't sleep in your vehicle either unless you are in a residential off-street driveway or business institution parking space, and then for only 3 weeks out of the month. I suppose the fourth week you can stay awake and see how that works, kind of the insomnia approach to modern society. An unusual and daring approach, but I think I would prefer the old approach of everybody getting 8 hours a night, even if they're without lodging. I think that's only fair. Anyway, what do you think? Phone number here is 427-3772. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, and we're launching into the last half hour of Bathrob Spear's Broadsides. We had hoped to get in touch with Phil Baer, who actually is going to be speaking before the city council, he tells us, around the sleeping ban in support of Paul Brindell's proposal. He's actually on the Community Action Board, is Phil Baer. Phil is renowned for saving the city from the rapacious jaws of Charlie Canfield when he attempted to wolf down the Tidelands property with the eager help of Rotkin, Hernandez, Matthews, Kennedy, and I guess, what was her name? Campbell, the old guard gang. Now, of course, we have all those new enlightened progressives on the city council, Fitzmaurice, Crone, Sugar, and Byers, who they're very enlightened on many issues. In fact, they're floating far above the city, and they don't see any need for homeless people to sleep. I guess that's their solution. People kind of float in the stratosphere, you see. Or possibly leave the city. And actually, we're going to be going into that subject next time. We don't really have time to do justice to the county camping ban scandal, which we really want to talk about in some detail. I've got lots of tape on it. We had been going to Marty Wormhout's. She has sessions at 5 o'clock the Monday before the Tuesday weekly supervisors meeting, which he kind of talks to constituents, and that happens out at Java Junction at Seabright and East Portola, East Cliff, that's what it is. And that's at 5 o'clock on Monday evenings if you want to check out Marty Wormhout and find out what's going on, or simply make your voice heard that the supervisor should do something to essentially deal with the homeless. I mean, it is really a county function. The social services are not a city function, they're a county function. And the county is miserable around this issue. But we were actually just looking at the county law, which I had read as stating that you couldn't arrest people for sleeping because Supervisor Patton back in the 80s had passed a roadside resting exception. Well, I'm afraid I may have been wrong about that, folks. Here you hear it first here. Robert is going on the air to suggest he may not have been entirely accurate. And it's still not clear. We haven't been able to get an opinion from the county council or from Sheriff Mark Tracy, who won't talk to me. I tried to talk to him today, and the good sheriff gave me the cold shoulder. I was, of course, crushed. Anyway, I'll answer this call in a moment, but the current county camping law seems to be that motorists, this is now my reading of it, motorists who are going through the area are allowed to park, pull over, and sleep. Not just rest, but sleep. The word sleep, Dick Little, a reporter, notwithstanding, he claimed that that word wasn't in there, but he was wrong. Dick, if you're listening. You can sleep in your vehicle if you are motoring through, but it refers to motorists. So those in the lower classes or castes, like homeless people, who have to use their vehicles to sleep in, tough shit, folks. You don't get to do that. And in fact, it is illegal to sleep in your vehicle. Well, it's not. It's not illegal. Well, this actually is the question we're trying to get a clear answer to. But there seems to be another section which states that even though you can't camp in these small no-camping zones, you also cannot sleep in a vehicle, generally speaking, on any county road, alley, or street, or right-of-way. And so that leaves only county undeveloped property other than parks, because it's illegal to sleep in parks at night, and it's illegal to sleep in the county parking lot at night. So it's only legal to sleep on county property that is not a, quote, right-of-way, street, alley, or roadway. At least that's my latest conservative interpretation of the county camping ordinance. In a way, of course, this means that those of us who are going to be facing camping tickets, and it's not really an us because I haven't faced a camping ticket in several years, and I do so only when I join protesters, which I'll be happy to do on Tuesday night, by the way, folks, if you wish to do some kind of significant protest at City Council. Unfortunately, Mayor Byers has arranged so that this meeting falls in the spring quarter break, so UCSC students, for some interesting reason, will not be available to come to this meeting, and they are very concerned, many of them, with the failure of the City Council to keep its word to the voters that it would do something that would decriminalize sleeping and essentially allow people to do what they have to do every night. These students will not be available, and Students Against the Sleeping Ban will be sending some folks to come to the meeting on Tuesday night, but the massive outpouring that we'd hope would show up, and there were quite a few students at the last City Council meeting on February 23rd that discussed this issue, will not be there. A brief commercial announcement. There's going to be an evening of video activism, a benefit for Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's what you're listening to, 96.3 FM. No remorse, and there's a pie in the face, a swoosh in this graphic on the flyer I'm reading you from. It's Sunday, March 21st, coming up from 7 to 11 p.m. at What Is Art, 2044 North Pacific. The evening will include The Pie's the Limit, Whispered Media, a behind-the-scenes look at the pie-throwing antics of the Biotic Baking Brigade. See San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown, Monsanto CEO Robert Shapiro, and other corporate and political stoolies get a taste of Humboldt Pie. Cream and Punishment, a documentary about the Belgian pie throwers, highlights of Bill Gates getting pied, Fire in the Eyes, Havoc Media documents Earth First activists and the use of pepper spray to torture protesters. An aside on this, I'm trying to get new CPRB board members to consider doing a real investigation into pepper spray rather than the prefabricated police point of view that the old CPRB, Citizens Police Review Board, was doing. Who knows if they're going to do anything of that sort, but at least, like Chris Krohn, they're willing to talk. Earth Pirate Radio First, short video about the Tree Radio Berkeley takeover of a redwood in Berkeley and the 14-day occupation of 104.1. Features interviews with Stephen Dunifer. Again, all this Sunday, 7 to 11, March 21st, at the No Remorse benefit for Free Radio Santa Cruz. Breaking Free, video zine from England focusing on activism. And I would like to say that I'm going to encourage some other videos to be added, including the arrests for Food Not Bombs folks in San Francisco for serving free food, which I served, 27 days in jail back in 1996. And there is still the occasional threat to the Food Not Bombs person up there, but generally speaking, the willingness of some people to go to jail on this issue, many people actually, there were hundreds of people, over 1,000 who got arrested in the 8-year series of arrests that Mayors Agnos, Jordan, and even Brown were engaging in to stop Food Not Bombs from showing that homeless people do exist, that they should have the right to be in public spaces, and that there is a section of the community that doesn't believe homeless people should be run out of town, and that will stand up for it even if they lose their own liberty for a period of time to do so. So that's the benefit coming up on March 21st. On March 23rd, you get to trek into City Council, hopefully with your sleeping bag and your backpack, And who knows, your boom box, whatever you think would be appropriate, a couple of, tofu pies might be a good item to bring along. You never can tell when the city council will get hungry. I've often thought that just laying down your sleeping bags around the city council would be a perfect way to respond to their failure to even discuss the issue of the right to sleep at night. You know, that has not even been discussed. They've talked about little changes here and little changes there, but nowhere have you had any council member talking about the flat need to deal with the right to sleep at night and pressing that issue, because that's the issue, and that's the issue we wanted to hear from and didn't hear from under the disgraceful, Catherine, mayorship of Catherine Byers, who, if, by the way, I'm told she's returned to town, as I mentioned before. If you're listening in, Mayor Byers, feel free to call in. We won't hang up on you. You're safe on these airwaves. You may, however, get a taste of the people's mind on the issue of criminalizing poor people, betraying the electorate, and running us all around a goose chase for the last 3 months that has led nowhere, and apparently still is going nowhere. Anyway, I'd like to know what you, the public, think about any of this, and the phone number is 427-3772. So give me a call, and while I'm waiting for those phone lines to light up, here's a little of Kristen Lenz in the outdoor. you are once more at 96.3 FM, where you always were, or at least for the last few minutes, hopefully. Now we're going to turn to an interview with an ACLU attorney in Florida. This one's about a month old. Lots of interesting stuff here, though, and we're not going to be able to get to much of it, but here's a little of it.
Examining its so-called camping ordinance, which essentially gives a $162 fine to anyone who sleeps outside anywhere on public property and on much private property in the city of Santa Cruz. We're a city of about 50,000 people. We have a homeless population of about 500 to 1,500 people in shelter space in the summer for 40, in the winter for 220. So it criminalizes a lot of people.
Right.
And I've been struggling to get this task force, which is meeting again today, to look into Miami and other cities that have been forced by the Pottinger decision to take other action. And I wanted to get some kind of an update from you on what that's all about, how it's going, and maybe to pass it on to the city.
Okay. I've spoken to one of your council persons.
Christopher Crone?
Nope.
Keith Sugar?
Yeah. And sent him some stuff.
How long ago was that now?
I want to say December. There was a meeting, I guess, of the commission where he was trying to put it on hold or get the...
Yeah, city council met on December 8th, and he tried to pass a health and safety provision, which would...
Right. Okay, and I sent him some materials just to give you some background, so I have a little bit of knowledge of what's going on over there. You want to know there hasn't been much here in Miami, primarily because the order that and you're with Huff?
I am.
Okay. And the order went into effect on October 1st. That's when it was signed by the judge, which actually laid out the protocol and sort of the limits on police behavior, even though there was a judge ruling years ago, it was all sort of put on hold. So basically, it just became implemented. Right now, we're in the process of trying to get people signed up for any damages that they are due.
This is out of the $1.5 million that was...
Well, there was actually $600 million set aside for people to make claims on.
$600,000. Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah, why don't you ask some questions and then I can respond, because there's not... We're just starting to try to find out what the implementation... You know, how this is being implemented out on the streets.
You've been following the issue for how long?
Where?
Here in the Florida area.
Well, I've been working on the case for a number of years.
Okay. One of the things that City Council is contending with is a so-called magnet myth, as I call it, or magnet theory, as they call it.
Uh-huh.
Which is if you relax laws against sleeping, it produces a huge influx of homeless people. And the key question is, in your experience, has that been the case in either Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, or any of these other cities?
I can't answer for any other city. I can tell you for Miami, and it hasn't. I mean, the homeless population here, my understanding, increases a little bit during the winter. It's lovely down here, you know. The Miami Dade County is about a little over 2 million. Miami, the city. That's a good call. I don't know. I really don't know the answer to this.
Do you know how many homeless people you have?
The estimates are like between 6,000 and 10,000.
And when did the sleeping sections of your anti-homeless laws get lifted?
Well,
or did they?
They didn't. We don't have any anti-sleeping ordinances per se. But what happened here in Miami, which is a little different, there were no laws passed directed at homeless people.
Uh-huh.
What we had here was that the police were selectively enforcing laws against homeless people, which is like we would have a law that says you can't sleep in the park after hours.
Uh-huh.
And so what they were going in and they were doing is arresting people in parks for sleeping in the park after hours. What we challenged wasn't the law itself, but that it shouldn't be applied to homeless people because they have to sleep somewhere, and that by preventing them from sleeping in public places, you're actually just driving them out of the city. What the settlement And what the judge ordered, and then what eventually the settlement held, was that it never declared any law unconstitutional or illegal. It just said if a person is sleeping in the park after hours or doing any other, we called life-sustaining activity, like if, you know, you're lighting a fire in the park to cook your meal, you're urinating in public because there's no bathrooms, you know, you're lying on the sidewalk because there's no place else to go. If you are doing those things when you have no place else to go, they cannot arrest you unless they first offer you a reasonable alternative, and that would be some form of a shelter. It's only after you choose to refuse that offer can you then be arrested for violating the law.
The settlement was finalized in October, but there were court rulings prior to this that supposedly laid down restrictions on the police and safe zones and so forth.
There was an order entered in 1992 that established safe zones, but all of the orders were stayed, which means that they were stopped by the Court of Appeals. So in effect, there was an order out there, but it wasn't legally binding.
What was the actual practice of the police department during the last 5 years?
It varied. You know, there were some crackdowns, but generally, to be really honest, a lot of the police thought that the Pottinger decision that the court entered was still in effect. So they were pretty, there was not a lot of harsh treatment of homeless people. They were kind of really kind of, they were behaving very well, to be real honest.
Did you have tent cities?
We did not. I take that back. We had pockets of homeless people, you know, like in parks and in parking lots, but there wasn't any formalized tent city. There were two safe zones that were established, but they were basically taken down after a while. They really became pretty rat infested areas, and the area was closed down. And then what was happening is that homeless people were congregating in fairly large parking lots, and they would have, I wouldn't say a tent city, but it was little encampments.
And were these encampments broken up by police or tolerated?
For a while they were tolerated, and then what happened was the city closed down parking lots. In other words, they turned them into parking lots again, and they worked it out so that the clients were off, anybody who was living there was offered a place to live before they were closed down.
When did that happen?
When I say a place to live, a shelter. It could be anything. It could be a hotel. It could be a shelter. It could be, you know, any form of a shelter bed.
When did that happen?
Well, it happened, I would say, over a span of about a few years, probably like 93 to 96, and I'm really guessing on that.
It's
all post the 92 decision.
Have you heard this happening in any other jurisdiction in the country?
Happened? What's that?
This kind of process whereby a federal court is, or a state court, has forced this kind of behavior on another jurisdiction.
No.
And is this because you have some unusually liberal judge? What's
Sorry?
Why did this happen in Florida rather than elsewhere, in your view?
I don't know.
Huh. It's not because the judge is a raving liberal or something?
He's a real good judge. You know, if we had another judge, would it be different? It could be.
What's the judge's name?
His name is Clyde Atkins.
Okay.
You're doing this. What's the goal of what you're doing here?
Well, I'm looking to get the Santa Cruz sleeping ban lifted in certain parts of our city so that people can sleep at night without being arrested.
Right.
And the city council, the guy you talked to, Keith Sugar, who originally had sympathies in that direction, and probably still does, has been held in check and kind of muzzled by or persuaded to lower his profile.
Yeah.
He was voted down by the city council majority headed by the mayor, Catherine Byers, who we thought was an ally. And so what's happened is they're holding a lot of meetings. Byers has publicly announced she doesn't favor any changes. I'm trying to get Keith to publicly advocate for the right to sleep and to do so, by, you know, basically, I'm trying to give him evidence, if it exists, that when the right to sleep was allowed, there was not a huge influx of people.
Right.
And do we have any hard stats and any of that stuff? Where would that be?
I don't know how. I, you know,
I mean, for example, the food stamps might be one way of more people getting food stamps who came into town.
I mean, what's been happening here, which is really hard to distinguish, because, I mean, our population has not been increasing. There's been no increases in the homeless population at all.
Oh, really? And how do you know that?
By surveys that were done.
Can you cite them? Do you know what? Can you fax them to me?
I'd have to try to dig something out. But I'd have to, I'm not sure I'd be able to get that to you right real quickly.
Whenever you can, I'd love to get it. Let me give you my fax number.
Okay.
It's 831.
And that was an interview with a Miami ACLU attorney who really had a lot of good information, as you could hear, about how there is no magnet effect in Miami with police not enforcing anti-homeless provisions of their codes, or selectively enforcing codes to harass the homeless. And they had a big settlement recently. We're going to talk about that and similar things as we continue Bathroom Spears Broadsides next Sunday. That's at 11 o'clock in the morning. We will run till 1:30 on the somewhat longer edition of Bathroom Spears Broadside. I just got a call from Michael of Soba, band playing tonight at the Catalyst. Soba may actually be willing to do a benefit for us, or maybe just give us some incidental good time music at 6 o'clock on Tuesday when we go before the city council, have a little food first, and then come piling in to try to sing some sense to those city council members. But tonight, Soba ID and the Unknown Jeromes are playing at the Catalyst for $3, in case you're interested. This is an unpaid, I guess it's not really a commercial announcement. I'm making the announcement because it was requested of me by Soba, and Soba in return may be doing a little sleeping band strumming. That would be cool on Tuesday night at 6. We need your help, by the way, in getting people to come to the Tuesday night City Council meeting. It may seem like a waste of time, but it's not, because it's not really the City Council we're talking to. We're talking to the community of Santa Cruz, and we're really gearing up for significant protests downtown in a way that will essentially put forward a civil rights struggle, because that's what we're stuck with, unfortunately. We have to do civil rights action to get this community to respect the rights of the poor. So we need your help. Give a call to 423-HUFF. We've got phone calls, phone numbers, phone lists to call, 423-4833. Do give a call and give us an hour of your time over the next 4 days. It really is important. And I got a minute left here, and I'm going to actually sign off on time as Uncle Dennis comes.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, well, occasionally happens. Rolls into the studio with his ever obnoxiously well-prepared show, his Earth First 2 hours, and I always resent that. He's got this all set up so beautifully. Every line is well-scripted. I resent that. But, hey, you, of course, get the benefit of all this good work, so stay tuned for Earth First with Uncle Dennis. I'm going to roll out now, if I can find a tape to roll out on. You can roll in. You got a tape to roll in on there, Uncle Dennis?
No problem.
Let's do this. This is one of my favorite songs. It was actually composed by Mark Levy for Santa Cruz. It's called 999 Points of Light. It's about a woman who was also arrested and jailed for serving free food, Sandy Loringer.
Days in the county jail, hold my cause, hold my mail, serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. I have a shop on the street in town where hungry folks walk up and down. Some have no homes, some sick from want. So I went, got some food from a restaurant. I took it to a central spot to feed the weary something hot. The police came, took me away. For my awful deed, I've gotta pay with 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. They said I needed a permit to serve free food. It must be fit. So here I am, awaiting trial, while the hungry have to eat from the garbage pile. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. I faced the judge and I made my plea. He looked away when he sentenced me. He said, we won't put you in that hole if you promise not to feed another living soul. I told that judge I could not say that crazy law I would obey, nor pay no fine or post no bail. Now I'm feeding folks inside the county jail. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my bail. Serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time.
All right, that was Michael Levy. Mark Levy. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. That's an interesting little ditty. All right, thank you very much, Robert. Fine. Bathrobe, spears, broadsides for tonight here on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. And you can tune back in on Sunday at 11 a.m. for more of Bathrobe, Spears, Broadsides here on Free Radio Santa Cruz with Robert Norse. Not homeless, but certainly an activist. All right, my name's Uncle Dennis, and we're going to get started here in just a second with Earth First Radio, but I want to let folks know that this Saturday, March 20th at 7 p.m. is the Earth First Spring Equinox Celebration. You're all invited. Where is it? It's at What is Art. That's on North Pacific Avenue, just a block and a half north of the clock tower. Once again, it's admission is by donation. If you've got $5 to $15, we'd appreciate it. But we're not going to turn you away. Who's going to be there? Well, Robert Hoyt is going to be there. He's a fine singer-songwriter from down Georgia way. He lived Decatur, Norcross, Georgia, those kind of places. And he's been playing around Earth First campfires for quite a while now. One hell of a nice guy, one hell of a funny songwriter. And I'm sure you're going to enjoy him, but to get you kind of warmed up for Robert Hoyt is Danny Dolinger. Danny's from Austin, Texas, another singer-songwriter. He's also